I've got something for you.
Okay.
A little something from Brian Regan. Do you know Brian Regan?
I do. He's funny.
And he's one that can be played in front of the whole family, and you don't have to worry about...
I do appreciate that.
You know, any language or any appropriate conversations. But you were saying, you know, dads don't get the...
Credit.
The yeah. credit, you think? What was that quote from Billy Graham?
Oh, Romy.
Okay. Well,
Here it is. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the valuable assets in our society.
Here's a little something to that from Brian Regan.
Speaking of problems, I read this. Apparently the Israelis and Palestinians are not getting along. What the? What happened? I go on a short vacation. I don't know how they're going to solve their issues. They've tried violence. That hasn't worked. Nothing's worked, you know? But you know what they haven't tried? And I think it's worth a shot. They haven't tried a good dad. Because a good dad can solve a problem in 30 seconds. I say we send a good dad over there. What in the hell is going on over here?
You can look up Brian Regan, good dad, for the rest of that. It goes on, and it is pretty funny. So
you can even watch him on mute and be entertained. His expressions are pretty phenomenal.
Yes. We'll get to our weekly home maintenance to-do here shortly. It has to identifying a good snake versus a bad snake and making sure our home surroundings are in a place that deters those snakes. As weather warms up and they start slithering out, it's something that we see commonly here in Arizona. But we're going to get to our calls first at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Anu, welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've got two projects. One of them is just finding the right material. In our shower, I'm looking for a glazing spline, but it's a real tough one to find. I've been to so many places here in the valley, and they just don't seem to have it. And I was hoping you could point me to a place that might carry it. It's a glazing spline for the side of the shower. It's a frame shower, and it looks almost like a V with a triangle at the end.
Hmm. Is that something you could send us a picture of?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I would love to.
Snap a picture and send it to info@rosieonthehouse.com. And let me get a visual, and I think I'll be in a lot better position to be able to help you. So that was question All one. Right. You said, was there a second?
There is a second. So our fence is on the shorter side in the neighborhood. When you're walking on the sidewalk, you can see right into our backyard. And I want to raise the fence, and I'm going to try and do it myself. It's got these top caps that are, you know, I guess, covering for rain or whatever they are. They're just top stones. How do I take those off, add some height to the fence, and then put them back on?
Well, I would first, the way it sounds like, there's probably a master plan community with an HOA.
There's no HOA.
Okay, so
you
don't need... Yeah.
I know.
you don't need permission from neighbors to do this.
No, and all the neighbors' fences are much taller than ours.
Okay, so the... What I would get is a chip and hammer. They do make electric ones, but that they're heavy, and that's going to be
okay.
Without scaffolding, where you could hold it at waist level and use the chip and hammer horizontally that way. Scaffolding, they do. You can rent scaffolding, and that would make it go a little quicker. But what I would do is just get a hand chip and hammer. It's something you get in the masonry section at any hardware store. It's a... generally, they're blue. It's a heavy steel chip. I mean, the blades varies, but you're probably going to find a 4-inch, 4-6-inch blade and get a 2-pound sledge. Estwing makes a great one. Put that chip right on that grout line and just gently tap it, and that vibration will start to break that mortar joint. And you'll notice that after a couple hits, you'll just be able to take that hammer and pop off the top plate. And then you'll have to go back, depending on how the grout breaks off, and scrape the grout off of the top of the wall, either with that chip and hammer along it or get a grinder and grind it off. It's a very dusty job to grind it, but it's a very easy way to do it.
How many feet of fence?
Okay. how many feet? Great question. I'm trying to add 1 foot up, and then all around, I would say, because the yard is about a third of an acre. It's a lot.
Okay.
What part of the state are you in?
Phoenix.
Where in Phoenix?
On Greenway and 34th Street.
Oh, man. Do you know where Marvell is?
I do.
You just go to Marvell. They've got every tool. And take a picture of the... Is it a gray block? With a top cap, I'm guessing it's probably a colored or decorative.
Yep. No, it's an actual... It's an actual block fence.
Okay. Usually you don't see on a masonry fence a top cap across the whole thing. So just run into Marvell. You're going to get the tools you need to take the top cap off. You'll get the – are you going to try and set the block yourself?
Yep. I'm going to try.
You'll get the trowels. You can get a wheelbarrow for your mortar mix. You can get pre-bagged mortar, which I would do because you're going to be – probably doing this in sections.
And all the advice you need along the way. They're great in there.
Yeah, okay. And the biggest thing is going...
Mortar.
Yeah. Green is making sure you have your line set straight. So you will put an actual physical string line on each corner end, and they can sell you the level for that. And what it does is it measures your top height that you want to set that block to, because your grout's going to be a certain depth. And your block and making that mortar consistent is going to be the biggest challenge, because without that string line, by eyeballing it, looking down, moving along, you're going to feel like it's being set set level. But then you get down and back off and you're like, man, those aren't level at all. And it's going to drive you nuts. But you'll apply a little bit more mortar than you need to get it level. And then you'll tap the top of that brick down so that you get a little compaction for your grout. And you will notice, for depending on how much sunlight you get, 2, maybe 3 years, you'll be able to tell that grout is newer than the other grout. But after a couple years of sun bleach, it'll all look the same.
So would you suggest, after everything is done, would you suggest painting the fence or just leaving it? Because I was going to paint it, and my neighbor said not to, because the water will crack the paint at the bottom of the fence, and it'll look bad after a few years. But I was thinking about painting my fence just to give the house a facelift.
That is completely up to you. What you'll do, if you're going to paint it, you'll get a product called Block Fill, and Marvell sells it as well. And you'll put this on first, and you want to roll it on. Don't spray it. It's a really thick white paint designed to go on block. And it will seal it and give you a good base primer to put paint on. Just know... That paint's only going to last a few, 8, 12 years, 15 years, looking good. As soon as you paint masonry, you've added a maintenance problem to that masonry and having to repaint it again to keep it looking good. So if you don't mind repainting it every decade or so, then, and you want the look of it, you can. I've also seen a lot of people do wall murals through neighborhoods. Mm. And you could do some kind of mural on it to add something to the neighborhood, but that's only if you want to paint.
Okay. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for all your advice.
Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us, and I'll let Kat switch the buttons as we go over to Mike, who wants to talk about one of Rosie's favorite topics and mine, water. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, Rosie. How you doing?
Good.
First-time caller and long-time listener. I'm moving back to the Valley after being in the East for a number of years, and we're building a home out in Blackstone. And it's a fairly good-sized home. It's about 4,500 square feet and about 10,000 feet under roof. We got a lot of patios and that sort of thing. And two questions. When we got the bids, and I didn't know shear versus not shear. I didn't understand the whole notion of it. And when we got went through all the bids for the house, what the bidder that won the construction bid, and he was open about it. He said, you know, this bid is not full shear, and the plans that were drawn up, you know, they had, they showed the, I guess you call it the shear areas of the house and that sort of thing. And they said they would go ahead and they would exceed what's considered to be the required shear, but they wouldn't be doing full shear in the house. Long story short, we're at the framing stage, and the inspector that came through from the city of Peoria just asked the question, well, why is this house full shear? And it's really led to, shall we say, some very active discussions. And we're stuck at this particular point in time. We're not afraid to spend money on the house, but we don't want to spend stupid money. And what we're being told is that it's not really needed. But it's coming down to about a $5,000 difference for people to go, for them to go ahead and, you know, complete the, make it full shear as opposed to what it is right now. Right.
And is this two by
whether to spend the money
four or two by six?
Sorry. It's 2x6.
And what he's talking about, when we frame a home in construction, the framing by itself, straight 2x4s, is not enough structural support. On the corners, they add siding, and that's usually OSB that's nailed to the walls to help keep the wall straight. Because if you picture a straight wall, everything completely vertical, nothing is keeping it from going side to side. And that corner shearing helps stabilize the building. And you only need to do that to the corners to pass code, I think, and I'm pretty sure that's the same in every city in Arizona. And so the inspector's asking, why aren't you putting OSB siding on the entire home, correct?
That's correct, right.
Yeah. So, and it's about another $5,000 to finish doing that.
Yep.
Well, I will, how many other homes are going up in construction right now in your area?
Oh, there's a lot.
Looking at all of them, I would say most of them weren't, would be my guess.
Well, if you look across the golf course to the track homes that are being built, they are not. If you look across at some of the custom homes that are being built in the area, they are. And, you know, I just don't know that one guy just throws himself on a grenade. You've got to have full shear to make this a good product. And I said, well, that's fine. But I'm having structural engineers telling me it would be a better product, but it's not necessary. And is it worth the $5,000? You know, I could spend that $5,000 on other areas. So it's just a matter of, do we spend the money? And you know, are you going to, is there going to be any kind of problem with the house? Apparently not. You know, one guy said that you may have some additional, or may have cracking in some areas in the stucco over time that you wouldn't if you had full shear, but other people kind of debunk that. So we're stuck.
You're going to get cracking in your stucco no matter what. That's just the nature of cement. And stucco is obviously a very heavily cement-based product. But that doesn't mean it's going to weaken the structure. And you're going to get most of your that's not going to be anything that you can't fix with an elastomeric caulking. And a paint job will cover up any natural cracking that's going to occur. The cracking that would be a problem is going to be soil-based. It's going to have nothing to do with whether or not the house is completely sheared all the way around or not, as long as they're doing a good job and making sure that the lumber's been dried. You know, if we use lumber that's too wet and we build the house and then we get all kinds of warping as it dries out later, when they build a wood-framed home, they've got to let it set for a certain amount of time with the concrete tiles on top of it so the wood gets used to the weight of the concrete tiles before they put the siding on. That way we get all of our bending and warping done before we're putting on our finished exterior coating. Yes, it would be a little bit more structurally sound if you added that, but is it worth the extra $5,000? I can't, I don't want to answer that as a definite yes or no. We still want to guide you to that answer, but I will tell you this. If you called any realtor and said, has any homeowner ever asked you, is the home completely sheared or unsheared.
Yeah.
I will say they've probably never even been asked that. So is it going to hurt your resale value? I'd say, call a few realtors. I have never been asked that question. We'll finish a little bit more on the backside of this
Okay.
after the break. Hang tight.